The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't know, the more I hear this scripture, the more I encounter this scripture, the more I kind of meditate, ponder on what's all going on here in this scene, the more radical it becomes, right? We think about leaving behind your whole livelihood, think about leaving behind your whole life, right? Relationships that matter most to you, the work that sustains not only you, but your family, to follow who would have been an itinerant preacher at the time, right? It just is, it's radical. I mean, we sometimes think that it's difficult for us to respond to the call of God on our lives. And then we look back and think that there's some magic in the call of the first apostles that enabled them to do what they did, which was leave everything behind and follow Jesus. My friends, there's no magic. It's grace, right, at work within them, just in the same way that it's grace at work within us, that we might cooperate also with the call of God to follow Jesus. Couple things, right? One is this. This is an encounter of the living God with these first men that Jesus called to follow him. But this is an encounter with the living God. We can have an encounter ourselves with the living God. And that encounter is facilitated, at least, part of the encounter is itself in prayer. This scripture passage is a perfect scripture passage with which to pray. So this is like one of my few recommendations. I don't often recommend like course of action here, but one of my recommendations is get your Bible at home, find some time in silence, and read through slowly and reflectively this particular gospel passage. It's really close to the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. It's the first chapter, verses 14 to 20, okay? We need to spend time with the Word. We need to spend time with Jesus who speaks to our hearts directly in this Word. Let me tell you how to do it, right? We can read through this passage, right? We have to find silence. So, I mean, I don't know, some of you with kids, maybe that's the bathroom or something, but we lock the door, you know what I mean? Like, they'll understand for 20 minutes, maybe. No, maybe not, but okay. You have to find some. We have to find some time, some space to be alone with the scriptures. We have to read slowly and start to imagine the scene in our minds. And where do we find ourselves in that scene? And does, I think in this scene, this one, why it's one of the best scenes to pray with and to meditate with is because we can hear the words of Jesus for ourselves. Jesus calling us to come and follow him, to trust and follow him, and see how your hearts are moved by the call of Jesus. Right? That movement of the heart there, that allowing ourselves to be wooed by God, to be loved by God, is simply much more beneficial, much more efficacious than anything that I'm going to say. Okay? But I'm going to keep talking. So, what I think we have in front of us today as well is a paradigm for discipleship in the church. This right here is our mission statement. We can find it in the words of Jesus, okay? Three parts. Come after me. One, I will make you. Two, three, fishers of men. On the level of our heads, we're engaged as we respond to the call of Christ to come after him. Come after him means trust and follow Jesus. It means making him the center of our hearts, the center of our lives, right? The center of our day, the center of this moment. It means making Jesus the ultimate priority in my life and relating everything in my life to my relationship with Jesus. Come after me. On the level of head, we choose to follow Jesus. We choose to make him the very center of our lives and our day, our human experience. Okay? I will make you, part two, is an engagement of the heart. I will make you. When we come to Jesus, when we choose to come after him, he who has chosen us, then we find that we are transformed into his very likeness. We bring before him our hearts, right? He speaks to our heart, and we make a gift of our heart to him as he speaks into our hearts and makes our heart like unto his. Okay, so if the head was come after me to choose for Christ, then the heart here is I will make you. Jesus, when he encounters us, anytime Jesus encounters us, we are changed by the encounter. It's one of those perhaps measuring sticks, right? Was I changed by the encounter? If I was, then I encountered, or he encountered me. And if not, perhaps we need instead to move from the head to the heart, that place of transformation, that place of motivation, even place where we are animated, moved to follow Jesus. Come after me, one, on the head, in the head. Two, I will make you from the heart. Three, fishers of men. What do we do with our hands? Once we choose Jesus, when we make choices and choose for Jesus, decide to trust and follow him, and then we are moved by him and changed by him in that transformational encounter, we simply must pick up his mission to be fishers of men. Look, we'll close the circle. What is Jesus doing on the shore that day? He is fishing for men. So this is not some kind of task that he's set us, right? Some strange little thing. He could have said, and he could have told us to do any number of things. No, he's not telling us to do any number of things. He's telling us, I have given you my life. You are to live my life in the world. Jesus' life is fishing for men. So us, not just each of us individually, but all of us gathered together as the body of Christ, take on the mission of Jesus to his world. And that, my friends, is that we are to be, individually and together, fishers of men. Okay. How does that happen? How does that happen? I'll rip off a mission statement from a group that I discovered, I think some in the greater Cincinnati area. And it was that we exist, the church exists, to love people into relationship with Jesus. To love people into relationship with Jesus. How close do you have to be to someone to love them into relationship with Jesus? Very close. Very close. How close are we to the people around us today? Not very close. Right? We're all connected to each other. That's what we call it anyway. We're all connected to each other. We're never without each other. Our phones are always on us. We're always available. But where have all our real relationships gone? Where have all our real relationships gone? My friends, we have to start forming those relationships. You see, here in the scriptures, Jesus doesn't go to one and call and go to another and call and go to another. He goes two and two. And he chooses brothers. so we can build on what's already naturally there and take it deeper. But then he's bringing right together 12, and then 12 and 72 and the rest. But he's forming then, in his very love, as his very body, the disciples. And we, my friends, are part of that community. We are part of that same community of disciples. We are part of, we are each members of Jesus' body. Which means that we must, first and foremost, love each other. So all those people around you that you don't know, you have to get to know them. And it's my job to set up opportunities where you guys can get to know each other, discover the beautiful children of God that those people are, the people sitting around you, and grow then not only in knowledge of those people, but in love for them as well. To know that when you come here, you are loved and supported and cherished. And each of us being nourished by God has something to offer the people sitting around us. And we're a community of that strength and of that magnitude of love and of the mercy of God that Jesus breathes into our hearts and lives, then, my friends, we'll find it perhaps a little bit easier to reach out to the people around us, to model for them what it is to love, what it means to be a steadfast, come up alongside you kind of person, which is what every single person in the world is desperate for. And if we can't do that, we who have the love of God breathed into our hearts and lives by Jesus, we who are Jesus's body, then where is it going to happen? How will that desire ever be fulfilled if we can't take it up here and make it ours? My friends, here and now, Jesus is breathing life into us because we are hanging on his every word. We have chosen for him. We are following after him. We trust him for our every good. And he is transforming us to be his body, that he might reach every corner of creation with the love of God made flesh, not only in us, but also through us, reaching out to the entire world.